tonight with Kelvin Weathers of Houston, Texas. Eyes on the Prize. He's coming from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, where he launched from. Brother Weathers, let us hear about this prize.
Good evening, family, and all of those who are listening tonight. And we're thankful for those of you who are a part of this nationwide gospel call put on by our Brother Brooks, and thankful for the invitation to share with you in the Word of God. We want to look at Philippians chapter 3. If you go to the, we'll go to the King James Version of Philippians chapter 3. I'll start at verse 10 to verse 14. The Bible says there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may also apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 13, where we get our, verse 14 is where we get our subject. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we think about the term eyes on the prize, there was a documentary of 60s based upon the civil rights movement that talked about eyes on the prize, that looked at many figures kept going forward, kept advancing, kept their eyes on freedom and equality and other things that were rights for individuals who were sick dogs on and other things that happened, and they kept their eyes on the prize. But tonight we want to look at heaven, and we want to look at the fact of who is going to be those who are seeking to make heaven their home. And I don't know about you, maybe in life, earlier in life, we thought about making millions of dollars, and we thought about a six-bedroom home, a 10-bedroom home, and we thought about land and stocks and bonds and all of the finer luxuries and amenities of life. But as life, as we realize life is shorter, as we realize the frailty and the fragility and the shortness and the brevity of life, we even remember, we think about how James says, what is your life? It is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. James chapter 4. We have to think about what is it going to be, where we will spend eternity, where we will be with at the end of this life. Because I hate to say this, and I don't really like to think about death too much, to be honest with you, but life is short. Life is not long at all. And I think about preachers preaching the gospel who pass away after preaching a sermon. When I think about the shortness of our lives, and I think about people losing their lives to gun violence and mass shootings and all of the things that go on in the world, how short life is. And the Apostle Paul writes to the church, to the saints at Philippi, this letter in chapter 3, some have said it has been deemed as almost a break in the dialogue, where this is his joy letter, this letter that he gives to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And this letter was 16 times the word joy, rejoice or rejoicing is referenced. It's known as his joy letter. But yet, in the midst of the encouragement, there becomes a stern warning to beware of dogs and beware of evil workers and the concision. And as you go on, it talks about Paul warns against those who are trying to constrain the believers to go back into the law and circumcision. And he then talks about that he wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ. All that he wanted in his life, all that he thought about was knowing Jesus, knowing him, and not knowing of him, but knowing him. My friends, we have to know the Lord, not know of the Lord, but know the Lord. We have to know him in intimate, close relationship, to really be close to the Lord Jesus and studying the Word of God and meditating on God's Word and knowing the Lord and knowing about the resurrection. He said the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He wanted to know about the one who shed blood and was hung on the cross for our sins. He wanted to know about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright in the Morning Star, the Captain of 10,000, the Fairest of 10,000. He wanted to know about the Messiah, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He wanted to know about Jesus the Christ. And he said, I want to know him, and I want to be close to him, not know of him, but be close to him. And I want to fight the fight, a good fight of faith. I want to know him that I may be recognized by him, this same Jesus who sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven, that if we serve God and if we are obedient to the gospel of Christ, that we may be found in him. He said that I'm striving for this prize. But one thing we must do as we strive, if you're not in Christ, you need to be in Christ. But if we're striving to be in, if we're in Christ, we have to let some things go that are hindering our further walk. He said he had to let some things that were behind, he had to release those things. He had to let those things were behind. Satan wants us to be consumed with guilt and shame about the past and about the things of the past and mistakes of the past. But he said, one thing that I do is I have to let those things that are behind go. When we look at a rearview mirror in a car, the mirror is not to be, it's to be glanced at. It's not to be constantly stared at and constantly looked at. It's for reflection, but not for being forever looked at. And so we must let those things that are behind, that may be old habits, it may be old vices, it may be old people, it may be certain kinds of behaviors and people. But he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. This prize of being with God and being in Christ Jesus, that those who are in Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3, that as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. But if you are Christ's, you know, you're Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promise. Those who are in Christ, who've been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins, who've been taught correctly, those who are in Christ are Abraham's seed. There are people who say that they're the seed of Abraham today. But if you're not in Christ Jesus, you cannot be the seed of Abraham. And so he says that I press toward the mark. This is the imagery of almost as of a race or of an athletics of straining ahead and pressing ahead toward the finish line, toward the the goal, the end of the race, to see, as a Christian, we have to be in this race to win. We have to be in it to win it. See, there's really only two destinies man has, only two fates. It's either with God or without God. It's either in Christ or out of Christ. It's either heaven or hell. It's being with God or being without God. And life without God, as has been said, I've heard it's been said, is meaningless. Life without God is empty. Life without God is vain. Life without God is hopeless. Life without God has no meaning, has no purpose, has no reason. There's nothing, there's no value in life without God. Paul, who is a Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of Pharisees, had been taught by Gamaliel, had all of the knowledge and all of this, but he realized, I'm nothing without Christ. I'm a chief of sinners without Christ. I'm a filthy wretch. My righteousness is a filthy rags without Christ. I have no hope without Christ. Without Christ, hope in this life is most miserable. But he says, but when you know Jesus, when you're in Christ, when you have been given the gift of the Spirit, when you have joy, when you have peace, when you have long-suffering, when you have the things of being in Jesus Christ, you can press toward the mark. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul had talked about in this life, and we know in this life, I don't know, maybe if you're on this line, maybe you're well-to-do, but some of us have struggled. Sometimes you have ups and you have downs and you have obstacles and you have days where you don't have much money and whatever. And Paul had said this. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will accumulate teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear something more. They will turn away from hearing the truth and turn aside the myths. Verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 4. But as for you, keep a clear head about everything and hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. He said, I have finished the race. But see, you've got to be in the race to finish the race. If one is not in Christ, if you're not in Christ, you're not in the race. Now, those who are on the call tonight, I'm talking to, I believe, seekers and very, you know, honest people and good people and generous, but goodness alone would not save anyone. Being a good person, being a nice person, and I wish there were more nice people, more honest people, more genuine people, more kind people, but being kind, being generous, being good would not save anyone. But if you want to be saved, one must be in the race. You've got to get it, to win a race. And to, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was at a walk, a 5K walk. It really was like three laps around a university. And to be in the walk, or to run or walk in the race, I had to get into it. I had to participate to be a part of it. Well, in the spiritual sense, if one has not believed in the Son of God, has not been born again, has not repented of their sins and confessed faith in Christ and been added to the Lord and added to his body, then they're not in as good a person as one may be. And they may be better than some believers may be. But if one is not in Christ, they're not in the race to walk with God. So Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've finished my race. I've dealt with backstabbers. I've dealt with false brethren. I've dealt with being shipwrecked. I've dealt with being stoned. I've dealt with obstacles. I've dealt with care of the churches and afflictions and being stoned and all. I've dealt with the all of these things. I've dealt with brethren who didn't want to support me and take care of the man of God as they should. I've dealt with all of these things. I have finished the race. We should want to finish everything. We should want to finish strong as Christians. But if one is not a Christian, one must want to be a Christian. But we should finish what we start. And so he said, I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. I kept the faith in spite of obstacles. I've kept the faith in spite of difficulty. I've kept the faith in spite of adversity. I've kept the faith in spite of unfair circumstances. I've kept the faith in unfavorable conditions. I have kept the faith. Because why could he do this? Because his eyes were on the prize. He said, I want to be ready. I want to be ready when he calls me. I want to be ready, and I want to be with my God. I want to be ready, because there's a beautiful place called heaven. We read of it. The song says, we read of a place called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. Its beauty has God has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful a sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Paul had heaven on his mind. Heaven was real. Heaven was not a figment of his imagination, a figment of he knew that heaven was a reality. It would be real if he served and walked with God. And so as he walking with God and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, or some translation would say the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It wasn't all about income. It wasn't all about what he could attain, about his titles and his position, but it was about being with God and being in heaven. And so when we realize that we are pressing on and we're pressing toward this prize of the high calling, this prize of being rewarded, that's the beautiful thing of also when you're in Jesus Christ. In spite of sometimes, you know, and some people, and you'll hear some on radio or television may teach and give an idea that if you serve God, everything's going to be peaches and cream. But I find the one passage in the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer some persecution. There's not always going to be peaches and cream when you follow the Lord. Sometimes you're going to be disliked for following the Lord. But yet, when you press toward the prize, that prize of the high calling, everything that it's worth it to serve the Lord. Everything that you go through is worth it. But God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. According to Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and there's a reward of them that diligently seek him. But in the passage in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 19, when we look at something that Jesus taught about the rewards of following God, he said in Matthew 19:26, it said, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Notice that Jesus says, talking to his disciples, that when you forsake everything to follow me, I'm going to give you more than what you lost for following me. Christ says, when you follow and you serve me, there's going to be a greater outcome for following me than what you lost. And so as we follow Jesus, there's no turning back. When we decide to follow Jesus, we decide to follow him, and there's no turning back. And so if you are on the call tonight and you have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe you were baptized as a baby, or maybe you were baptized at an early age and you didn't understand what you were doing. Well, in Acts chapter 19, it talks about there were some who they didn't understand or they didn't know about the proper baptism. And Acts chapter 19, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, don't miss it, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here are individuals who had already been baptized, but when they understood properly what they needed to know, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Maybe you are on the call tonight and you want to be sure about your salvation. Maybe you are someone who was sprinkled as a child and didn't know that the correct form of baptism is to be buried, to be immersed, to be submerged in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you were baptized and it was not in the proper faith. You can do what they did in this instance. When they heard the correct teaching, when they were taught right, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so if you want to be in the race, this great race of faith, this great race the Hebrew writer talks about, that we have this great cloud of witnesses. He said that there was Gideon and Samson, Barak and Jephthah, and Noah, and Sarah, these great examples of faith. And they shut off lions, and they walked in faith, and they didn't even have a perfect faith. It's not that they didn't do everything correctly right all the time, but they had a great faith. They pursued God. They followed God. And you have a whole list of examples of faith in Hebrews 11. And he says, seeing then we have this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He finished. Jesus finished. And we want to finish, but you've got to be in the race first. You've got to be in the faith to finish. There's only one faith. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about that. But if you want to be in Christ Jesus, when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, the Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I also preached unto you, which also you received, and where you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. How I delivered unto you, first of all, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, but that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. When you hear that gospel, if you're willing to believe the same gospel, according to John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31, Hebrews 11 and 6, You want to repent of your sins, according to Acts 17:30. It talks about at one time God winked at ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And if you're willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, the Bible said, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. And if you're willing to be baptized in water, baptism and operation is going to take place. And if any man be in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. According to Acts 22:16, Saul was wanting to pray and call on the name of the Lord. And Ananias told him, why are you tarrying? What are you waiting on? Be baptized. Wash away your sins. Then you can call on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16, Romans 6:1-4, 1 Peter 3:20-21, when you're baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. And when you're faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10 says we receive a crown of life that won't fade away. When you're baptized into Christ according to truth, the Lord adds you to the church that Jesus promised to build, the one that he promised to build in Matthew 16:18, where he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, singular. Definite article, it, that he promised to build. So if you want to be in this race, you want heaven to be your home, you don't want to be with the devil and his angels in hell, you can be in Jesus Christ. And you can, when you're baptized, you can hear the words of, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And so if you're not in Christ, get with the person who invited you to this call. If you have further questions, get back with that person as well, or get with the congregation that put on this call. We thank you for listening. Thank you for attentively and patiently listening. We'll turn it back over to the host minister, Brother Brooke, at this time.